Can you tell me where you were born?
I was born in Lipstick, Ohio, 1913. And it's been February the 5th. I was a twin. My twin brother passed away when he was 18 months old. He had spinomeningitis. Of course, them days, they didn't know what that was too much about it. And we lived on the farm. And we lived there about 4 years. Then we moved to east side of Lipstick for, oh, we lived there about 2 years. And my dad bought a farm up here in Michigan at Dundee, west of Dundee. So then we finally moved up here in 1918. And I'll never forget the time we come up from there. It was about a 100-mile trip. And my dad, he came up with all the furniture and their stock and stuff. He had put it in a boxcar. And it took him and a cousin of mine came with him. And it took them about 3 days to come that far. And then we came up on a passenger train, and we got on the train at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we never got into Dundee here till 6 that night. Seemed like we stopped at every little station along the road. There was only two cars on this train, so it was quite novelty for us kids to ride on a train that far. When there was no eating, my mother had to pack a lunch, so we had a big basket lunch. And we was met here, trained by a friend of ours. Took us out to cousins, or because they didn't have the car unloaded yet, the furniture and stuff hadn't got here yet. And so we went out and stayed at my cousins, and then we lived on a farm here west of Dundee. And I think in about 1921, we bought out a milk route, and we'd put in more cows and put more addition on our barn. And I had three other brothers and two sisters. And the older brother got married and left. Left two brothers, myself, and dad's mother. And one sister, and the other sister got married too. And so we run the dairy out there. We milked all our own cows and milked them by hand, and then we bottled the milk and peddled it into town. And the price of milk at that time was 10 cents a quart, 5 cents a pint, and we delivered our house to house around town. And one time, why, we had a sort of a milk pour on, and well, we started cutting prices, and I think we got down to as low as 6 cents a quart for milk. So finally got together with our competition, and we got the price back up. But the most we ever got was 12 cents a quart for milk. And we had to bottle it, milk it, cool it, and bottle it, and deliver it for that money. And later, why, my dad had turned the farm over to my brothers, and then I graduated out of Dundee High School. Hard to find a job. That was 31 I graduated. Pretty hard to find a job, so finally I did get a job on the CWA, which was later called PWA, and we worked for 30 cents an hour. And after I worked there, oh, about a month, I guess. In the meantime, I'd got married, but I didn't tell them I'd got married, so they laid me off because I wasn't married. So then I got a job out at the Purina Mill, and that paid 30 cents an hour. 40 hours a week, NRA come into effect then, and all we could work was 40 hours. And then finally we got a raise of 5 cents, so I made it 35 cents an hour. And we rented a, Laura and I rented an apartment uptown, and our rent there was $6 a month. And our groceries would run us, oh, for 10 days. We got paid every 10 days out to Prina Mill, so we could get our groceries down to one store there and charge it till the end of the payday, and most of it would be between $3.50 and around $5 for our grocery bill for 10 days. But we got along pretty well. We didn't see much hard times. Work was steady. And then we lived there for 6 years. And during that time, we had two children. Our oldest was our daughter, Darlene. And then 4 years, that was she was born in 1932. And then later on, we had a son named Burl. And he was born in 1938. So I said she was born in 32, but it was 34 when she was born. And he was born in 38. So then we bought a lot down on Midway Street in Dundee, and decided we'd saved up a little money, and so we had $2,000 to pay down for a new house. We got a contractor bid on it, and he built us our house, a 5-room house, 6-room house with basement on the corner lot. I only paid $100 for the lot, which I thought was a pretty good buy. And then when we let the contract for the house, he said he would build it for $3,900. And we had $2,000 in our lot to pay down on it. And so we went to our local bank and thought we'd get the rest of the money from the bank. And at first they wasn't going to loan us the money. We could have went through probably FHA, but that was a government-sponsored program, and you never could pay the mortgage off. You had to just pay so much a month, and we didn't like it that way. We wanted it so we could pay it off if we could sooner. So finally the bank, they had a board meeting, and then they told me that I was a good boy and knew I worked, had a job, because after working at the Prina Mill, for 35, and I think probably I got to 40 cents an hour. Well, then I got a job at Ford Motor Company, which paid 75 cents an hour. Boy, then we thought we was red and clover. And so they told me they knew I was working at Ford's, and that was a pretty good place to work. So they loaned us some money, and they made our payments for $20 a month. Well, we got to working pretty good, and seemed like we got a little extra pay and raise. I think went up to 85 cents an hour then. So then we started to paying off $40 a month on our home, which didn't take too long. And I worked there for about 11 years. I worked at Ford Motor Company. And during that time, I had the misfortune of having an accident, lost the sight of one eye. So then after I quit there, two brothers and a veterinary here and another good friend that run a hatchery by the name of Ed Scott, we all got together and formed a company and built a feed mill west of Dundee called Dundee Feeds Incorporated. And I worked there for 6 years, and I decided that I wanted to be out on my own, so I sold my interest in the feed mill to Doc DeGroote, which was one of the members, and Serge, which is my brother, sold them my share of the stock. And then I went over to Milan and bought out Milan Elevator from Liam Squires. And I worked there, run that place for 18 years. And we bought grain and sold feed. And then in 1964, my wife Laura had the misfortune of having a seizure or ruptured blood vessel in the brain while we was up north mushrooming, and we wasn't sure what it was till later on. They discovered that she had an aneurysm, and she had to have an operation, which was aphasia, and it paralyzed her one side. And I continued to run the business. I had to have hired help there and hired help home. So that got to be kind of headache, so I had a chance to sell out my business, which I did. And we had a lady working for us that she was getting old, and finally she decided maybe that she ought to go take care of her sister, which was an invalid, and she left us. So we just stayed there and took care of each other during that last 6 years, and was just kind of a chore on all of us, but we just made up our mind to do something, and we done it. And she finally got pneumonia, and she passed away on me in 1978 in January. And with mixed kind of lonely life, but as life is, you got to go on just the same.
Can we go back a ways to when you were growing up living on the farm? What were some of your daily chores you had to do?
Well, we didn't have a lot of the modern tools. We started out with horses farming, and we didn't raise many cash crops because we had too many cattle. We had to raise mostly oats and corn and hay. And then, too, we would go out and buy hay from different neighbors that we'd have to go in and cut it. And then we would take the horses and rake it up. Some at first, while we didn't have a hay loader, and we'd have to put it in piles, but they used to call it doodle it. They'd put it up in a little small pile so it would dry. And then we'd have to pitch that hay on. But we did have what they called slings. You'd lay across the wagon and put so much hay on there. And then when you take it into the barn, we had ropes that would go up on top of the barn, and you'd take and hitch another team on this rope, and it'd pull this hay up and then go back into our mouths. And that way, just had a rope there, we would trip at the bottom and the slings would open up, and that was the way we unloaded the hay. It didn't take too long to unload it, but it took us longer to load it. Well, and then later on, we got a hay loader. That was you'd hook that right behind the wagon and just keep going until you got the load of hay loaded, and then you'd have to take it up to the barn and unload it with the slings. And sometimes we used what they called a hay fork. That would, you would just put that down in the load and take off so much hay at a time. It took a little longer than the slings did because most generally we used 4 slings on the load of hay. But with the fork, maybe you'd have to take 7 or 8 different loads of. You'd have to jab the fork didn't hold as much as the slings would. But it was just one of those things. And we used to, we didn't have any feed grinding of our own. We always had to bag our feed or else put it in the truck and take it up to the mill and have it ground. And then after we'd have it ground, we used that for feed, and then we had a silo that we'd go out and cut green corn in the fall and fill that silo full of silage or green corn, which would be for our winter feed. And that was the way we fed our cattle. And so we, the only income we had was from our milk from the cows, and by bottling it and delivering it. And we delivered this in, with Model T truck, and then we had a Model T touring car that we delivered with too. And at times when we wouldn't have enough milk of our own, we would go to the neighbors, which that time from wherever neighbor had a cow. And we paid $2.50 without a test. We never did really test our milk. It always had to be 3.5 or better, but we would do it periodically, have a local man test, and it would always be above that, so that didn't bother us. And we'd kind of watch to find out what kind of cows we'd buy so we didn't get all Holsteins, because the rural Holsteins milk didn't test quite as high as Jerseys and Guernseys, and we always had a mixed herd that way. And that was, man, time we milked by hand, we'd have to get up in the morning about 5 o'clock and start milking, and by the time we got a milk, we had a cooler that was run by, we had to, at that time, first we didn't have electricity, so we had to have a gas engine to run the pump jack, because that forced the water through our cooler, and the milk then flowed over the outside, and that would cool this milk. And we had a bottler which filled 4 quarts at a time. It was a lever action that would push the bottles up on our valves, and then get full away. It just my automatic shut off. And it would, time we got the cow's milk in the morning, bottled and everything, and loaded, we had to be in town by around 7 o'clock. A lot of people was waiting milk for their breakfast, because at that time there wasn't any refrigeration to speak of. If they had any of the ice boxes, which they had to use, and some of them didn't have that. In the summertime, in order to keep fresh milk, we used to deliver twice a day. We'd deliver in the morning, and then we'd deliver again in the evening. And that way people had milk for breakfast. A lot of times didn't have, they'd have a well. They used to hang their a pail down in the well, and they'd have their milk and butter in this pail, but to keep it cool, that was their types of refrigeration. And then later on, some of them got ice boxes. They used to have the ice man come around, deliver them ice. And then later on, came the refrigerators. But when they didn't have any wells or anything, they used to dig a hole on the north side of the house and put a sewer crock down in there, and they'd keep their butter in on the north side of the house, and that's the way they done the refrigeration. And they would, sometimes they would, instead of having a lot of canned goods, sometimes they used to dry it. They'd have dried foods, they'd dry corn, and they would have beans that would be dried, lift and leave them in the field, or else pick them and keep them in some dry place, and then they'd shell them out and have dry beans and put their corn in that way if they wanted any. They either had to can it, or else they did put it on top of the stove and dry it. And they didn't hardly ever know what a grocery store was for too many things, because they raised a lot of their own. They'd have to go for their sugar and flour and stuff of that sort. but they used to buy it in larger quantities. And sometimes they would have a delivery grocery truck come around to different places. He'd have a route come around every week. So people didn't think much about going to town maybe once a week. Where nowadays, why, it seems like they got to go for every day, a lot of them. And that's about some of the subjects that I remember on these things. Mm-hmm.
Your mother, what kind, you said that they didn't have ice boxes. Did she have a hard life, cooking and stuff like that? What kind?
Well, she never thought it was a hard life. She thought that she always enjoyed working. She was always liked working. They never had too much recreation. They belonged to different people. They belonged to the Grange, and they belonged to the Rebeccas and the Odd Fellows. And that was their more or less entertainment. We didn't have radios at first until... Oh, I guess it was about middle 20s that they finally come out of radios, and we didn't have electricity, so we had to have a battery. And it was pretty hard to listen to it when they all tried to get in one room to listen to the radio. We thought that was quite a miracle. But there was a fellow here in town, he had a big radio. And he used to run it right in on the telephone wires, and people could rent that. And it's just a speaker that's set in their house, and they could listen to that on that speaker. And I know my brother lived here in town. We used to come up to have any special programs on. We'd come up and listen to that on his speaker. Never could tell what he's going to get, but he had to take what program the fellow was running the big radio up that the telephone office would give you. And if you didn't like it, why, they had a switch, you could turn it off. But we thought it was something. It was something that we never thought would come, that we could watch them do it like television is today. But we all were hard workers. There was nobody, when you're on the farm, there's no place for a lazy man. And she lived till I think she was 64, I think, when she died. My dad died when he was 62. He had a stroke. And they always seemed to have enjoyed themselves. We never had too much, but we got along with what we had. We always had enough to eat, place to sleep. And maybe it wasn't the fanciest of a lot of them, but we got by with it.
Yeah, we got stopped.